your Bibles tonight, if you would. Thank you, Gary. Hopefully you received one of our handouts. Of course, the handout indicates where we've been and then even gives you the heads up on where we're going tonight. Now, next Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about El Elyon, as we're right in this series and teaching series on the names of God and knowing someone's name, their personal name, you know, the little affectionate name that, you know, a nickname or whatever they go by. That's a powerful way to identify with someone. That's a powerful way to let them know that you know who they are. And they're not just someone in your world, but there's someone you recognize in their world, in your world. And so we're talking about God's names. You see right there, if you have it, we have been there talking about how that God is Shalom, peace, and he's Shammah. He's a God that's there when we need him. He's Elohim, the supreme and mighty one, that he's Jireh, the Lord will provide. Last week it was Rapha, which the Lord who heals. And tonight we're talking about how God is personal, where that he is Jehovah Rohi, which is our shepherd or my shepherd. You can make it personal. Just say it. Say he's my shepherd. Say that he's my shepherd. We're going to be in Psalm 23, verse 1 through 6. Turn there if you would with me as we look to that. And as I said, we'll be ready to speak on next Wednesday night about El Elyon, which means the Most High God. So you don't want to miss that. Now, let me say this as well. I'm one. I don't know if you do this. I was a waiter at one portion of time when I was in school and just newly married. And Gwenny was working at the mall and I was working at a restaurant and we were just in love and it was great, right? Didn't take a whole lot of money to live. But yet we were doing what we were doing there, where we were there in school and I was finishing up and I worked at a restaurant. And so I now have this kind of affinity when I meet someone, you know, that's working at a restaurant or even someone that has a name tag. I just tend to kind of look at the name tag if they're in some way serving or helping. Behind the counter or there at the table or wherever it might be. And oftentimes it'll startle them because as they're helping me and they're saying something to me, I'll say, Jennifer, thank you for that. And they'll kind of look up at me like, how do you know my name? I'm like, well, it's right there on your name tag. You know, or someone serving food. Bob, thank you so much. You're doing a great job. And he's like, looks at you like, how did you know? And then, oh, yeah, of course, Bob's right there. It's a way of just, now, it's a way of identifying, just making a personal touch. You know, when God reveals names or reveals the aspect of his name or who he is, he's giving us an inside look at his personality, at his character. Also, what we can pull on, what we can draw from in the mighty aspect of our God. Talking about how he is Jehovah, which means Lord. God reveals himself as Lord, but Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our peace. We can draw on the peace that God provides, not peace that the world gave, nor the world can take away, but the peace that God provides that guards our heart and mind. Amen? As well, we can draw on the Jehovah Shammah, that we're not alone, even though we feel most alone, but yet he is there with us. He's not somewhere down the road. He's not somewhere around the corner, but he's right there with us. One of my favorite scriptures talks about how that he is there or near to those that are broken or contrite in spirit. When we feel most alone, God is right by us. Come on, can I get an amen if you know that? We can draw on the aspect that he is a creator God. Elohim was right there in Genesis chapter 1. God created, separated the earth and the water, made the day and the night, created, and said it was good. The Lord is the mighty one who created, drawing on the creativity that God provides. Also, that he is our provider. I love that. I preached that a couple of weeks ago, and I remember reading and then reciting it to you, where I read a definition, not only that God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, but the God that sees our need before the need arises in our heart or in our mind. Before we ever know there's a need, God already knows, and he's already sending the provision our way if we're willing to trust him and call him faithful. Amen. Amen. And then also that he is our healer. How many of you think God, that God is not only a healer of our sickness, but of our internal wounds, our emotional wounds? That what we see on the cross where he was there hanging between heaven and earth, we look on the cross, we see the stripes that were borne on the back of our Christ to pay for all of our healing, to make a way for our healing, but the bruising and the internal bleeding and all that was going on, how he had been harmed, that you and I, we, many of us, have faced things in our life that we can't see maybe what we're going on outside, but on the inside, God also has provided through his son Christ so that there is the outside in and the inside out healing that you and I can draw on from our God. Come on, if you believe that, can you say amen? Now, we're talking tonight about him being our shepherd. If I say it again, he's my shepherd. I'm going to read right here, very familiar psalm. You see it right there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We'll read all the way down through verse 6. Verse 2 says this, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you love the word of God, can you say amen? Now, David was coming from a point in that day, obviously it was prevalent, and it was a part of the society and the community to have those that were shepherds and to see sheep in the field, to see sheep being shepherded and out in the pasture and doing what they do. And it was natural for them to see it. You and I, now living in the suburbs and kind of where we're at, we're not out in the country. And so we might not be seeing livestock and things like this. But yet, you understand the concept. But David wasn't talking about something he read about. He wasn't talking about something that he had maybe heard about. A portion of his life was shepherding sheep. Being the youngest of his father's son, Jesse, or being the youngest son of his father, Jesse, he was out in the field watching sheep, and that's where he killed the lion, he killed the bear. That's where he learned how to not only sing unto the Lord, but also be a mighty warrior and be able to trust God to protect him. David was a shepherd, and he knew how to diligently keep the sheep, how he had to protect the sheep and count the sheep so that they wouldn't be astray and run around or run away, but no, just as many that went in and then also came out. He also provided for them. Now, you need to know tonight, in talking about Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord is my shepherd, let's just speak it today, tonight. Let's just confess the fact that who cares for the sheep? The shepherd does. David was the shepherd. He's writing the psalm, knowing what a shepherd must do, knowing the obligation, the job description of a shepherd. But he's speaking how our God, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, is caring for you and I. The shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. Now, once again, look at somebody next to you and say, he's my shepherd. Tell somebody, he's my shepherd. See, if you and I tonight understand that he is our shepherd, then what we're saying is this, and you got to get your arms around it, your head around it, your heart around it, then he is my shepherd. That means then I am his sheep. So we can embrace Jehovah Rohi, because the Lord is my shepherd, that means I'm a sheep in his pasture. I'm one that's being protected and counted and provided for by the great shepherd. That when I read Psalm 23, verse 1 through 6, it's not just some wonderful metaphor, but it really means something. Words specifically in those verses mean something that's intrinsic to my value and who I am and who God says that I am and what I need to believe for through the great shepherd, me being his sheep. If it's not for the watchful eye of the good shepherd, you and I would have already been utterly destroyed by pressure and anxiety and worry and stuff too big for us but not too big for our God. Come on, can I get an amen? Aren't you glad that he's your shepherd? Amen. Come on, if you believe that, you're thankful for our shepherd. Come on, put your hands together. Magnify God. Our God is good. Now, Jesus also speaks about being a shepherd, because Jesus was the living embodiment of God. What he said, what he did, how he acted, how he carried himself, only what spoke of the personhood and the passion and the heart of God. He said, I'll not say anything nor do anything that hadn't somehow ran by heaven first. What you see is the Father. What you hear is the Father. I think you have it back there for me in John 10. One of my favorite scriptures is John 10:10, where he talks about the abundant life. But right after John 10:10 in verse 11, Jesus is saying these words. He says, I am the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. See, a moment ago when we read, I shall not want, that doesn't just mean the wants and the needs and the desires that you and I might have, even where Jesus was speaking how that we shouldn't worry about what we wear, what we should eat, if he has the mindful, creative ability to take care of the lily of the field and the bird of the air, the sparrow, and to number them and to know their need and provide for them, then you and I shouldn't worry, because tomorrow will take care of itself. But God will meet all of our need if we seek him first. Amen. And then everything will be added unto us. That's what the word says. But Jesus says here that he is the good shepherd, the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Ultimately, when you read there, I shall not want. What you and I need more than just resource and things and stuff in our life. And God does not deny that. He doesn't deny that. That's why he talks about seek first, and those things will be added unto you. But more than things, more than stuff, you and I need a redemption. You and I needed a way out of hell. Amen. We needed a way out of death that we could not somehow make our own way. And so you and I don't have to want tonight for natural things, even though there'll be seasons in your and my life where there'll be leanness and there'll be seasons of much. That's why you and I are able to say we can do all things through Christ like Paul did, where he knew how to abound and be abased, that he knew how to be content in all seasons. But yet in Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you and I, ultimately, we are not wanting for our eternal certainty. If you've confessed Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart, then the word says you are saved and you know it. Amen. The devil can't argue off of it. He can't rob you from God. You are covered by the blood of Christ. And tonight, you shall not want, meaning that to be absent with the body is present with the Lord. Heaven is your destination. Come on, somebody. Can somebody give our God praise? Amen. A good shepherd that knows your name, knows your need, and has made a way for eternity through Christ Jesus. We shall not want. Verse 11 says, he's the good shepherd. Verse 27 in that same chapter, John 10, in verse 27, he says here, He says, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, when I look back there, let's go to verse 1, if you will, into Psalm 23. First one says a couple of words there that I want to just have you look and pause. Sometimes we read the word quickly and we don't pause as often as we should. I love that the word says the Lord is, that word is my shepherd. That's in present tense. David's not saying the Lord was or the Lord will be. He's saying that the Lord is. He is my now shepherd. I love that when God indicated to Moses who he was, he said, I am, meaning on time, present, available. Not I was or not I will be, but I am that I am. I am everything that you need. Come on, somebody. Even as David, think of it, was authoring this psalm, putting together these thoughts, the Holy Spirit stirring him to think on his days of shepherding, and then began to author this psalm, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Even as he's authoring and writing the psalm, he is also knowing at that very moment that the great and good shepherd is the one that is guarding and guiding and protecting and promoting his life. Not only do I see that he says right there that he is my shepherd, but also that word my, the Lord is, everybody say my. I've already had you say it a couple of times because it's not something that's distant. It's not at arm's reach, but it's close. It's personal. My shepherd, David said, he is my personal shepherd. That's why it's important that you acknowledge tonight that if he is your shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, your shepherd, then that means you are his sheep. And you got to own that. In owning that, there's some things you and I own that a shepherd has to do for the sheep that the sheep cannot do for themselves. We serve a limitless God, but you are straight up limited. Come on, somebody. Amen. We serve a God that can do everything, but you can't do all things. We serve a God that can do not only all things, but make the way you can't make for yourself. But you and I are keenly aware that there's going to be doors shut. There's going to be opportunities missed if somehow we're leaning on self, but the shepherd has us. Jehovah Rohi is one that provides. Now, the thing about sheep, talked about it not too long ago, but I like this as I was reading and kind of working through a little booklet that I have from Dr. Tony Evans, one of my favorites. I really appreciate and love the gift that God has in his life. And he talked about sheep, and he said sheep are four things. If you got the handout, I'd love for you to write it because it's important for you to know. Because to really embrace the fact that he is Jehovah Rohi, your shepherd, that means you're a sheep. And so what is it about sheep that the shepherd has to take care of and provide for? Number one, he wrote it and said it. I didn't write it, but I'm going to say it. Amen. He says that sheep are dumb. Now, I know that's not a positive confession, but it's the truth. And if you and I are leaning on our own or under our own understanding, then we're going to make some dumb mistakes. But if we're leaning not into our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging him, then he'll direct our paths and make every crooked way straight. Come on, if you believe that, can you say amen? Now, the sheep, literally, natural sheep in the field are not bright. They're not as some animals that are very bright or above the others. Sheep are often found following another sheep right off even a cliff. That there'll be moments where one will begin to walk in a circle, others will begin to follow, and before you know it, the whole herd, if you will, is going in circles, but in their mind, they believe they're heading somewhere. Honestly, a shepherd is one that realizes that they don't have all that they need, all the understanding that they must have, and so he's the one that has all the vast wisdom. I love how James chapter 1, if you're looking for a verse tonight to help and assist you in a situation where you feel overwhelmed, James chapter 1 talks about when you lack wisdom, ask of God. God will give it to you liberally and without reproach. Meaning God's not going to make fun of you for asking. But if you ask God for wisdom, God will give you all that you need in the situation that you're in. So you and I serve a shepherd, a Jehovah Rohi, that is wise and sound and that has all the wisdom. And we as sheep must realize and embrace the fact that there is a limitedness. There is a cap and a lid to what we know. And God loves us enough to put us in situations where we're not going to know enough. And so either he's going to provide someone to assist, and that'll be from him, or he by himself will let us know and lead us with wisdom. But a sheep, first and foremost, is dumb or absent-minded. Secondly, it is defenseless. Sheep are literally DOA, even before the predator shows up. Why? Because there is no way for them to fend off an attacker. There's no way for them to somehow fight away a predator. Their only hope, your and my only hope, is that the shepherd provides the protection. Not only is there a lack of sound wisdom, but defenseless, but as well there is a dirty aspect to being a sheep. The sweat and the oils in their wool, them being unable to somehow clean themselves or cleanse themselves, the oil and the sweat and the dirt and even worse things that will combine and will mat down the wool. It requires what? The shepherd to come in and to take care of the sheep. To not only provide wisdom and to provide protection, but also to come in to help keep clean and pure the sheep so that it's able to be healthy. Finally, a sheep is ultimately dependent because they are directionally challenged. They're not able to circumnavigate. They're not able to really figure out which way is home or which way is the right way to the still waters and the green pastures. They're directionally challenged. And it's hard for me to believe, and I might say something about it here in a second, but I don't remember, now that we have our smartphones and these devices and even the GPS in our vehicles, how did we get to where we were supposed to go back in the day? How did we live life? Oh, my goodness. But somehow we got there, right? Somehow we pulled out the big old map, right? And somehow we watched the signs. We stopped and asked somebody. Or we went around the gas station enough to finally realize this is not the way. Amen. But ultimately, they are directionally challenged, and they must be here. This led by the shepherd if they want to go anywhere. So embracing the aspect of the sheep is that he is wise, and we need his wisdom. He is our protection because without God, we are defenseless. That we are in ourselves dirty, within ourselves fallen. These might sound like negative confessions, but no, they're not. When you're a sheep, you understand that he is the shepherd, even Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I'm not only a good shepherd, but a shepherd that will give himself for the sheep. And so you and I are not clean in ourselves. The Bible talks about how that our righteousness, our best, is filthy rags to be thrown out. But yet as sheep, he's the one that will take. I love the fact that Isaiah said 700 years in advance of Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, that what was crimson can be made white as wool. What is crimson? And then he talks also about how that even it's not only wool, but be as clean, as pure as snow. What is soiled or dirty can be changed. It was prophetically speaking of what Christ would do for us and provide for us what we could not provide for ourselves. And then ultimately, we will somehow find ourselves directionally challenged, and so we must be led by our good shepherd. I love the fact that the Bible, let's bring up that verse again, verse 1. Let's just look through it again there in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Bible says the word, of course, is and my. You have that there for me, Psalm 23, verse 1. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, read that with me once again. I shall not. The shepherd has covered all your needs. Some of you need to put that right there and somehow take it home, put that maybe right there on your refrigerator, but you need to write down, the shepherd has covered all my needs. I don't know who needs it, but someone needs that, and that is a prophetic word from God. The shepherd has covered all your needs. The Lord tends to all my needs. The shepherd tends to the sheep, just as our God tends to us, and he tends to all of our needs. I love this. As I was reading, Dr. Evans is awesome, and he said here, God has us comprehensively covered. Now, the reason why I like this is because I have a personal example in my life where that we had Victoria's car because it had been paid off a long while. We thought, we don't need that comprehensive. Let's just get collision. It's cheaper, and it covers the car, so if someone collides with her or her with someone else, she's covered. But the car's paid off, so why get all that comprehensive? And then she's coming down 85 or 75 from Tennessee on a break from school, and no one hit her, but what happened was the back right or left tire, the back right tire, for whatever reason, default or something, kind of peeled like an orange peel, and the tread came right off from the tire, and as she's rolling down the road 70-plus miles an hour, all of a sudden that tread begins to whip the side of the vehicle. She hears it, looks around, back tire blows out, and then she is able, as she's in the fast lane on the inside, she just pulls over into the medium and waits, calls me and Gwenny, calls 911, calls AAA, whatever. We finally pick her up right there, not too far out of Atlanta, had to go pick her up. Got her home, got the car back, and I called insurance because, you know, we got insurance for the car, and so we're thinking, hey, they're going to take care of things. How many know when you need them, they're not there, amen, you know? There's always a loophole somewhere they're going to run you through. Am I the only one? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You need it, but when you need it, it don't seem to be there. I don't know if I got somebody working in the insurance business, but God is good, amen. We love y'all, but help a brother out, amen. But I remember calling, and they said, Mr. Brock, you know, yes, you do have insurance here, and we have insurance on the vehicle, but you have not comprehensive, you just have collision. And she didn't hit anyone, and no one hit her. I said, well, the rubber on that tire kept hitting her, you know. I mean, there was some hitting involved because there's some dents and some damage. They said, I know, sir, but yet it wasn't something that was a collision, so we're not accountable. I thought, good Lord, the devil is a liar. Amen. But long story short, we had to take care of that. What is good tonight is to know that the good shepherd tends to you in my life, and he has you and I comprehensively covered. So if something collides in our life, something that we didn't see that hits us, or we hit into something else, look at somebody and say, you're covered. Tell somebody you're covered. Or if something in your life that somebody didn't hit you and you didn't hit nobody else, but just something comes loose and begins to whip around in your life and it creates a little bit of damage, and it doesn't maybe keep you from being on the road, but yet somehow it just affects your life. How many know you're covered tonight? Come on, can I get an amen? See, it's not where there's a loophole with the good shepherd where that when he shows up, he's going to be like, well, I wish I could have taken care of that, but you only had limited insurance. You know what? Our Jehovah Jireh, your and my shepherd, has taken care of all of our needs, so we will not want. We don't have to want down here, and we don't have to want for eternity. Why? Comprehensively, Jesus has made the way. Come on. Can I get an amen tonight? If you believe that, you receive that. Once again, he's covered it all. Write that down. Someone needs that tonight, the shepherd. You're Jehovah Rahi. Call him by name. Jehovah Rahi, you have what? You've covered all my needs. There's no loophole I have to wait and hear about, and all of a sudden I'm made aware that now I'm on the hook for the bill. No. Jehovah Rahi, you have taken care of it all. And what does he do? Our God as well knows how to restore. He restores us. Let's look there, verse 2 and on now. Now, verse 2 of Psalm 23. The Bible says there, for he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Let's read verse 3 as well, if you can. He restores my soul. There's two methods that God uses, and keep that third verse up there if you would, where it says he restores my soul. David gives us an example of how that God restores your and my soul. And how he does that is, number one, and I want you to write it down just a moment ago as we wrote how, as we as sheep, we're not smart enough and we don't have enough to defend ourselves, and we're going to be unclean at moments in our life, and ultimately we're going to be challenged directionally. But as well, now what does God do to restore our soul? What does God do to put a fire back in our belly and to restore our soul and give us strength? Number one, he makes you and I lie down in green pastures. Now what that means is the shepherd makes you and me be still and totally rely on him. That is not easy. Because I don't know about you, but I know me. When there's a need or something needs to be fixed, I want to try to fix it. But it's hard for me to submit. But I think it was one of the Katinas, Joe, that talked about it on Sunday morning in both services. He talked about that to see the enemy flee in your life, then you have to submit to God. See, you and I have to submit and literally submit to the shepherd. The shepherd will make you and I be still and totally rely on him. That's the first way that you find a restoring to your soul. Relying on him, leaning on him, resting in him, submitting to him. If you believe that, can you say amen? And then the other part that we saw in the verse just prior was that he will lead us beside still waters. I like the way it said in another translation, quiet waters. Do you know that sheep in the natural, they'll not drink from rushing rapids. They'll not drink from moving quickly rivers because there is a fear. They're also very fearful of stumbling in and drowning. They're not strong and smart and powerful and authoritative. No, they need the shepherd. And they'll not approach water that's running too briskly. So the shepherd will literally, I love the picture, I was studying this out, how the shepherd will come along water and then he'll channel out or be able with his staff and so forth, make a little bit of a way out from that river there on the river bank so that water can pool outside of that river and be quiet river in that channel, a small little channel that he creates that's now quiet water so that the sheep is able to drink without fear and worry. What this tells me here, not only that he'll make you and I lie down, hard to believe when you read it. Man, green pastures is where you want to be, right? If you're a sheep, you want green, lush pastures, but just as the sheep have to be made to lie down, you and I don't have the wisdom nor the know-how. We're directionally challenged. We've got to submit to the shepherd because he knows when and where to lay down. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. And then as well, instead of being full of fear and dread, wanting to draw from a resource that we need, God will channel that out into quiet waters. Ultimately, what this is saying for you and I, the way God restores us, is that he will cause, the great shepherd will cause you and I to be led into environments that you and I can handle. Environments that you and I can handle. There will be moments when we feel overwhelmed, but the shepherd knows when to move and guide us into places where the environment now is something that you and I are able to handle. And that really requires you and I to trust in our God. If you and I can trust in GPS, and we do, right? I mean, now if you're trying to head somewhere, if I'm going somewhere, I'm putting it in GPS. Just the other day, I had to head out to Cumming and had to go and be out in that area, and I've been out there but didn't know where I was going. I followed it, and it led me right to where I was going. If you and I can trust that somewhere way out in space, there is all that's needed, and it sees all the planet and then transmit all the way down through satellites and such into your car, into your phone, and you trust that all the way out there's something big watching everything is telling you how to get from here to there, how much more if we can trust GPS can we trust Jesus? Come on, somebody. Our God is a faithful shepherd. He is your shepherd, and he knows how to put you in right environments at the right time, when to lay down, when to rely, and when to be ready to draw on the quiet waters. Why? So that ultimately that it's led in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Come on the piano if you would, Gary. Sheep are prone. You and I are prone. We're prone to do what? To wander off. We're prone to, when are we prone to run off? When things are really good? You know when you tend to be the most vulnerable is when you've had something good happen in your life and you give God all the glory for it. Before you know it, you're prone to kind of slip away. David was able to be at home and even consider not going to the battle because things were such in hand. And then made a decision when kings go out to battle, David stayed at home, and then it led to adultery and murder and child out of wedlock and a number of things that followed him and was also passed on generationally, as then there was trouble in his home. Why? It wasn't because David was under the gun at that point or pressure. No, it's the fact that he was at a point where he seemed as if he could lean on his own strength, and ultimately he wandered, and you and I must follow the shepherd. I will. Let's look at that next verse. Is it verse 3 or verse 4? I think it's verse 4. I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Can you bring the piano up just a little bit, guys? I can't really hear him in my monitor, and I think I need that Land in the Plain music tonight to help me. Amen. Valleys. Valleys are low places. Valleys are between mountains. Hills are mountains. One reason why David writes this as a shepherd and knows that it speaks to the heart of the sheep is because when you're in a valley, as I said, there's either a large hill or mountains flanking you to your right or to your left. That means at most points and times during the day, one mountain seems to do what? It blocks the sunlight and creates some shadow across the valley. Shadows would always create fear in the sheep because shadows spoke of either night coming or darkness, and darkness always spoke that's where predators were, and they were on the prowl, and they could be consumed and destroyed. I love the fact that he says that we don't have to fear. Not only does God got it covered tonight because he's a good shepherd and tends to your need, but you don't have to be afraid tonight. Yea, though you will. Here's a key word in this verse. Walk through. Everybody say through. See, you need to realize tonight that sometimes God will, and there are those moments, and thank God for it, that God will literally pick you up and take you out of where you are. But more than not, the way to get out of the valley is to go through the valley. To trust God in the midst of the valley. Doesn't it make the story so much better when you read about Daniel in the lion's den? Doesn't it make it so much better, the story, when you hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not being bold and saying, hey, we'll not bow down, we'll not submit to you. And then the king's like, well, all right, you know, that's cool. No, but literally 7 times hotter, turned up the heat, and then threw them in. It's so much more powerful when you read about how that in the midst of the Red Sea, God provided and made a way, and they walked through it. Then they saw their enemy swallow it behind them. See, for you and I to have testimonies that will give us strength, moments we can look back and say, if he did it then, he can do it now, he'll do it again, then we can pray that God, what, pull us out immediately, and there are moments God can do that, and to God be the glory. I, like you, because we're sheep, hey, I want it all the time, amen. But more than not, the good shepherd prepares us to make our way, everybody say through, through. Here's what I want you to write down, if you're able to just put it there. Keep going, because the only way out, more often than not, is through. Keep going, because the only way out is through. Even though a valley cast a shadow of death, a fear of worry, his presence, the shepherd, and his rod and his staff, that will protect you. And then ultimately the word talks about, we'll finish up there, verse 5 and 6. Let me read it again. It's worth hearing read one more time. Verse 5 says in Psalm 23, your presence, you will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That means when that shadow of that valley, you know, the shepherd would go in and prepare that valley, remove stones and things, would know where there were different types of ruts where the sheep could fall in and damage or hurt and harm themselves. They would remove any kind of serpent or anything like that, a scorpion that was there that could attack or hurt or harm the sheep, as well as they would prepare the perimeters and know where the grass was vast and ready and able to be consumed and fill the sheep. But they would make sure that right there in that valley that would cast a shadow, they'd prepare a table of resource in the presence of where the sheep might think their enemy that are around, but right there is where they'd be nourished. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The good shepherd prepares the land for grazing. The good shepherd for you and I has those moments of abundance. We won't always walk in abundance. But I will tell you this, if you don't quit, don't stop, and keep moving through the valley, you will go from glory to glory, faith to faith, wealth to wealth, strength to strength. There will be those momentary times where there's the in-between. But yet God has prepared for you, just like I, a place that is ready to be grazed upon and received from. See, David ended there in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David ended the psalm in verse 6 saying that Jehovah Rohi meets our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs. He will care for your needs and guide you through the valleys. That is the power and the provision of Jehovah Rohi. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight, if you would, with me. Father, I thank you. Lord, as I just read and spoke what I had just read and received from, studied out, Father, I thank you tonight that you call yourself the Lord of Peace, the Lord that's there with us, the God that created the world and the universe. I'm thankful tonight that you are a God that will provide, that before the need arises in our heart, you already have the ram of provision headed our direction. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God that heals us and provides healing, not only outside, the stuff we see, the things we know that are ill and sick and stricken, but even those things on the inside, the emotional. Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Rapha. Father, I thank you tonight that ultimately that we're able to submit and just say, we are the sheep of your pasture. That's what your word says. That you are our shepherd and you are to be trusted. You're a shepherd tonight that knows how to provide the wisdom that we're limited in. A shepherd that knows how to provide protection when we're unable to fend off attackers. A shepherd that not only provides, but also knows how to cleanse us and keep us pure before you, to convict us when we need conviction, to draw us out of darkness into your precious light, to walk as children of the light, and then to know that we're going to be at times just directionally challenged and kind of lose our focus. Sometimes when things are at its best, we take our eyes off of you. Father, I thank you tonight that you are my good shepherd. And when Jesus showed up, he didn't say anything different, but said the very same thing. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life and provides the way of escape and protection and provision for the sheep. So tonight, what's the Lord said to you? With heads bowed, eyes closed, that he's got it covered. Comprehensively, every need that you have, it has already been paid for 2,000 years on the cross, years ago on the cross. Receive it. Oh, I know there might be a shadow because you're between mountains and you're in a valley and it's a little dark and you think, well, now what about over there? Let me just tell you, God's got it covered. It's already provided for. Everything is covered in Jesus' name. And we pull on Jehovah Rohi tonight for protection and provision. Father, I thank you tonight that all of our needs are met according to your riches and glory. And Father, I thank you that we are protected and that we are provided for because you are that shepherd that knows how to make us. And can you say this now? Would you raise your hands to the Lord tonight? Just say it from your heart to his. Say, Father God, I'm following you, my shepherd. And when you say to lie down and be still and trust you, I'll not be stubborn. I'll not try to be in control. But I'll submit to you so that you'll restore my soul. I'll not be fearful of resource because you'll channel it out into quiet pools of quiet water. And then I will restore my soul because of your provision. Come on, with hands raised. Father, I trust you tonight. Shepherd, I trust you tonight. And I know you have my good at your heart. I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Church said amen and amen.